Good evening. I would like to call the House Ways and Means Committee to order. Today is April 24th, 2023. Let the record reflect it at 6:01 p.m. We are in the Davis Room 106 of the State Capitol. Today we have present Speaker Tilton, Representative McKay, Representative McCabe, Representative Groh, Representative Gray, and myself, Chair Carpenter. Thank you all for being here tonight. Please silence your cell phones. Kevin Allen with House Records will be assisting us tonight, and Zach Lawhorn with the LIO. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. My staff, Kendra Broussard, will be assisting as a committee aide. Today on the agenda, we're taking up amendments to HJR 7, Constitutional Amendment for Permanent Fund Dividend, and hearing public testimony on HB 110, Permanent Fund Transfer Dividend Program to the Permanent Fund Corporation. The deadline for amendments to HB 110 and HJR 7 was set at 4 p.m. Monday, April 17th. And we did not receive any amendments. Just to double check with committee members that that is accurate. Okay. I have an amendment to bring forward for HJR 7, and we will take that up today. And let the record reflect that Representative Allard has joined us as well at 6:02. But first, we'll bring forward HB 110, and we'll open it up for public testimony. And I am setting a two-minute limit for public testimony. So, and with that, I'm going to open public testimony. And I'm checking my computer here to see if I got anybody online. Don't have anybody called in. And we don't have anybody in the audience to testify. So I'm closing public testimony. All right. Then we will hold HB 110 over. I'll now bring up HJR 7 for the purpose of taking up amendments. And you all should have one amendment before you. Can I have a motion to entertain an amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number one.
Somebody object for discussion. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Gray. Okay, let me explain my amendment as soon as I can find it here in my fancy binder. Briefities. Amendment number one. Okay, so this amendment, let's see, just taking it from the top here, page one, line one of HJR 7, it will insert the words relating to the permanent fund, relating to transfers out of the permanent fund, and that is for the title of the resolution. Page one, line eight, following the word two, it will insert transfers out of the permanent fund, and page one, line 14, following the word four, we'll insert the words transfer out of the permanent fund, and page 2, lines 8 through 10, it will delete the words all income from the fund, from the permanent fund shall be deposited in the general fund unless otherwise provided by law. It will insert the words all income from the general fund shall be deposited in an earnings reserve account in the fund. Let me back up and restate that. It will say insert all income from the general, all income from the permanent fund shall be deposited in an earnings reserve account in the fund, period. On page 2, lines 13 through 16, it will delete all the material and it will insert the following material. Section B, each fiscal year without appropriation, the state shall, according to a formula set out in law, pay from the earnings reserve account a dividend to eligible residents of the state each fiscal year without appropriation, an amount determined by a formula set out in law, shall be transferred from the earnings reserve account in the permanent fund to the general fund. The total amount transferred from the earnings reserve account under this subsection shall not exceed the balance of the earnings reserve account or a limitation on the transfer amount set out in law. Page 2, line 21, it deletes deposits and inserts the word transfers. Page 2, following line 21, it inserts a new subsection to read Section B on June 30, 2025. The unencumbered balance of the earnings reserve account established by law shall be deposited in the earnings reserve account established in the Alaska Permanent Fund. Discussion, questions? Representative Gray.
Thank you, to the chair. So can you just explain a little bit about what, just starting at I guess, with page one, line one, following the word two, adding transfers out of the permanent fund. I guess there's a lot of language that we're kind of changing that's talking about transfers as opposed to deposits. Can you just explain what the intent is?
Sure thing. It helps if you have a copy of the resolution sitting side by side to be able to see what's happening. So page one, line eight, and so we're specifically talking about line six on amendment number one. We'll address the section seven from the article nine of the Constitution. Okay. And it will add, insert the words transfers out of the permanent fund after the word to. So it's related to transfers out of the permanent fund and the payment of dividends is what that the Constitution would then read if we adopted HJR 7.
Okay.
Going to lines 8 and 9 of the amendment, so moving to page 1, line 14 of the resolution, following the word 4 on after line 14, it would read, except as provided in section 15B of this article, 4 transfers out of the permanent fund and the payment of dividends.
I guess my question to the chair is this in the case if 110 passed, we wanted to have the language so that it would be consistent? Is that me jumping ahead too far or?
No, because they're, Representative Gray, the two pieces of legislation, HJR 7 and HB 110, work in tandem. They're designed to work together. If I can back up and provide some historical context, the concept or the conversations in the fiscal policy working group in 2021 indicated that there wasn't a consensus on putting numbers into the Constitution. And in my conversations over the many years, there has always been a hesitancy to put numbers in the Constitution because we don't know for sure whether those are the numbers that we want to get stuck with. So whether you're considering 5% of a percent of market value draw or a 50-50 split or a 25-75 split or whatever formula that we come up with how to divide the earnings, the consensus, I don't know if I can use the word consensus, but there were many people that did not want to see the specific numbers put in the Constitution. To overcome the objections from the judiciary in regards to legislative ability to dedicate funds. Mm-hmm. HJR 7 addresses that, which is what we would refer to as the Wilikowski case. And so section 1 of HJR 7, which we just read the portions that this amendment is addressing, is specifically to spell out in the dedicated funds portion of the Constitution that we are giving ourselves the authority to dedicate funds in regards to the earnings from the permanent fund, and that will be spelled out in HB 110 or some other statute. Mm-hmm. So the numbers would not be put in the Constitution, the percentages and the agreed upon payments would not be put in the Constitution, just a requirement for a payment to be made by law. And then we can decide what numbers need to be in the statute.
Okay. Follow up?
Representative Gray.
So the next part of the amendment at line 18 of the amendment, when we talk about the insertion of this section, it's you make reference to an amount determined by a formula set out in law. And I assume that means we can change that. It just means that the formula like whatever the formula is, we have to follow it, but we can change the formula. So the what would go in front of the voters isn't going to have a formula. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
You can see my head nod, but the record cannot.
Yes. So I just want to make sure that I understood that it's very general language. And I guess the question for me would be if this resolution passed the voters and we for some reason didn't pass anything, we go to which statutory formula for calculating the dividend?
Well, the legal scholars would probably tell us, Representative Gray, that the statute most recently passed would be the one that we would use, or that the one that's been most predominantly used. There's a precedent article here. There might be debate within the legislature as to which one should be used, and we're specifically talking about 21% of net earnings or 5% of market value draw, right? That's specifically what we're talking about. Because both of those statutes are currently on the books. Mm-hmm. So the companion bill to HDR 7, which is HB 110, addresses that issue by removing the 21% of net earnings and going with the 5% of market value, which is what I think has the most support within the legislature to solve this issue.
Okay, thank you.
Representative McCabe and then Representative Groh.
So a little bit of this, Representative Gray, was, well, it's exactly what we talked about in the Fiscal Policy Working Group. We need this amendment and this resolution relieve the constitutional requirements, essentially not to have dedicated funds. It redescribes or redefines what an expenditure is in the Constitution, and then it basically directs us to have a PFD, have a dividend of some sort. Could be $3, it could be $3,000. Based on the formula that's coming up in HB 110. This was something that we, just kind of at a higher level that we discussed at great length, and there was lots of resistance to putting a formula in the Constitution. Nobody wanted to do that because the Constitution's a higher level, but everybody agreed, all 10 of us, some with some wailing and gnashing of teeth on both sides, agreed to that this was the best path forward, and I thought it was an elegant solution. I didn't like it, and the anti, if you will, PFD folks didn't like it. So it must be good. We're both upset. So
thank you, Representative McCabe. Representative Groh.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I have some questions, and I guess I'd like. Possible both you and I think Mr. Devin Mitchell of the Permanent Fund Corporation is online. Is that correct?
Mr. Mitchell is online if we have questions for Permanent Fund Corporation.
Sure. Well, I think it's important to put on the record, particularly given that we're looking at an amendment, an important amendment to a constitutional amendment. Thank you, Representative McKay. To be really clear about what we're doing here. And I'd like Mr. Mitchell, if that's better, to address this question, in which is the question of how does this amendment to House Joint Resolution 7, the proposed amendment, in conjunction with the existing, with the House Joint Resolution as was introduced, affect the percent of market value draw, and what are the potential implications of this change on the sustainability, the stability, and long-term management of the last permanent fund. And I'd really like both you and Mr. Mitchell to address it. Maybe we could start with Mr. Mitchell, because we have heard an explanation from you.
It's always easy to follow the subject matter expert, right?
There you go.
All right. Mr. Mitchell, are you online with us this evening?
I am. And so for the record, this is Devin Mitchell, the CEO of the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. And the resolution before you today, from the corporation's perspective, is it relates to the dedication of revenue and the distribution of that revenue without an appropriation. It doesn't necessarily have the detail to answer the question that Representative Groh just asked as far as whether or not it provides for some of the goals of the trustees and the trustee papers as far as the sustainability of the permanent fund, because a lot of that would hinge on statutes that would be implemented in addition to the amendment to the Constitution. The one thing that we did discuss today was that the change with the definition on page 2 to all income from the permanent fund shall be deposited in an earnings reserve account in the fund, what income was, and if it was GAAP income or the historical statutory definition, which is realized earnings of the fund, and that could potentially, if that would just be important to establish to determine how money was going to transfer into the earnings reserve account of that's contemplated in the resolution.
Follow-up, Mr.
Representative Groh?
Yes. Mr. Mitchell, I guess I'd like to start out or also ask this question another way, or a related question. You were present at an earlier hearing this committee held on HGR 9, a bill that a constitutional amendment, a resolution to propose a constitutional amendment that would have created a single account structure for the permanent fund by combining the earnings reserve account with the principal, making them both constitutionally protected. How would you describe the effect of HGR 7 along with this proposed amendment that the chair has given us? How would you compare the effect of HGR 7 if this amendment is adopted in the whole and the voters approved that version of HGR 7 with HGR 9 as was previously presented to this committee?
Through the chair, Representative Groh, I'm not certain that I understand your question. Are you asking if both of these resolutions were to be approved?
Well, actually, no. What are the different effects of either? Compare the effects. What if HGR 7, as including this amendment to the proposed constitutional amendment that the chair has proposed today, was adopted instead of HGR 9? I'm asking, what are the different effects of either one, if I'm making sense?
I understand the question now. Thank you, Representative Groh. And so, again, from the perspective of the Board of Trustees and the papers that have been established supporting the positions that the trustees have taken over the years, I think that HJR 9 shifting to a single fund and a percent of market value use of that fund is more in line with the board's positions that have been placed on the record. And that's because it eliminates some of the angst that exists within the context of an intergenerational fund and the tension between the users of the users of today and their needs and the needs of tomorrow. And under a single fund with the percent of market value payout, you don't have to worry about overdrawing the fund for a unforeseen emergency or over a need to use more than what might be a quote unquote fair share from an intergenerational perspective. And you, where within the construct that's being contemplated in HJR 9, in all earnings of the fund, whether it's GAAP or statutory net income going into an earnings reserve account that then is available for use as defined by statute, it leaves more questions on the table as far as how to ensure that the durability of the structure is going to withstand the test of time, and that, again, that tension between having to weigh the needs of today against the promise to the folks of tomorrow, the residents of tomorrow.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Representative Grow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mitchell, I guess that's a really important question that I want to get at. Is in this HDR 7, which is what we're considering tonight with this additional proposed amendment, you said that HDR 9, which is the combination, the constitutionalizing of PUMV and the creation of a single account structure, that would prevent against overdrawing. Would this, by contrast or comparison, with this proposed HDR 7 with its amendment as approached tonight, please describe what effects this would have on both overdrawing over time and also the simple spending, the other risk that HDR 9 tries to get at. What effect would this proposed version of HDR 7 have on the possibility of a spree, the legislature spending all the earnings in a spree? I'd like you to address both the overdrawing over time and the spending in the spree as controlled or not controlled by this proposed version of HDR 7 that's before us this evening. Please.
Through the chair, Representative Grow, it really depends, obviously, on the statutory framework that's established on the other side, and then the intestinal fortitude of future legislatures to abide by that intergenerational contract. And there's some, again, depending on what the definition of income is, that if it's gap income, and so gap income would include both realized income, which is your dividends, interest income, rental income, or realized gains from the sale of assets that have increased in value from the point that you purchased them. And that's the statutory net income definition that we currently use, but under GAAP, you would also include the increase in value of investments that you are not selling currently. So a real estate asset that might have increased in value, or a private holding or a public holding that might have increased in value. And if it does in fact include the unrealized gains that might be associated with a particular year, you could find yourself in a situation with a very robust earnings reserve account as a result of unrealized gains in combination with realized income that led to the extent that you have a very large earnings reserve account, it could lead to the temptation for future legislatures to consider using it. And I think, as you know, Representative Groa, the constitutional amendment that you provided or suggested in HDR 9 would be more structured and not have the same amount of flexibility and would, in fact, prevent legislatures of the future of spending more than the defined percent of market value transfer.
Representative Allard.
I'm okay. They
okay.
Answered it.
Thank
already.
You.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I have a question, and then we'll go back to the committees here, committee members. Mr. Mitchell, would you characterize the, if you've got the amendment before you, would you characterize the move of the earnings reserve account from the general fund to the corporation? How would you characterize that?
So Mr. Chair, right now the earnings reserve account is held within the permanent fund right now. It's just that the transfers out of the permanent fund go to the general fund currently. And this amendment would instead have them remain within the permanent fund, but in a separate account a new earnings reserve account that would be available for use or appropriation, I should say.
So I guess I would differ with you in that respect. The intent of this amendment and the intent of HDR 7 would be to prevent the legislature from appropriating money out of the earnings reserve account. We could transfer money out via a statute, but the purpose of the resolution before us is to constitutionalize a dedication of funds such that an appropriation would not be able to spend from the account. Specifically, it says each year without appropriation, there will be two things happening. One, a PFD, a dividend gets paid, and two, a transfer to the general fund gets made from an amount that's established by statute as to how we're drawing money from the fund. So in that regard, if we're talking about moving the earnings reserve account into the corporation from the general fund right now, which is where it is constitutionally, then we wouldn't be able to spend from the earnings reserve account.
Mr. Chair, I guess I hadn't I hadn't understood the amendment to have that level of restriction. So it might be it might be something that I would need to go back to my bench to give you a fully informed answer on its face. I would agree with you that if you have a statutory framework that establishes how money is spent out of the earnings reserve account that's established within the fund, it's going to be more difficult to overexpend from the fund other than it's defined in statute. Unlike right now, where a simple majority appropriation of the legislature can draw available money out of the earnings reserve account.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. I think I would like to go to Ms. Nauman and ask if, just to make sure that I have characterized this correctly, would our legislative drafter please speak to the effect of the amendment where the earnings reserve account language is found? And I'm specifically looking at lines 11 through 16 of the amendment.
Sure. Can you hear me?
I can, Ms. Nauman. Thank you. Go right ahead.
Great. For the record, this is Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services. I've been listening to the conversation, and I guess it seems to me that the question that I've been hearing is whether or not this will the constitutional amendment will act as sort of an additional safeguard or restriction against the legislature from overdrawing the ERA, overdrawing in quotes, in any given year. Is that a good summary of what the current discussion is about?
Yes, Ms. Nauman.
Okay. Again, Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services. So, Mr. Mitchell is right that, as he last said, and as are you, Representative Carpenter, that this amendment to the Constitution would effectuate a transfer from the ERA rather than requiring an appropriation. I think that maybe the nuance that's missing, though, is that the transfer is based on a statute in law, and the statute in law can still be changed by a majority vote.
Thank you, Ms. Nauman. Can you speak to what the amendment and the resolution would do with the earnings reserve account itself?
Sure. Again, for the record, this is Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services. The amendment, as amended by the amendment B.4, would move the earnings reserve account from currently the earnings reserve account is set out in statute as an alternative to money being deposited into the general fund, as the Constitution specifies now. The Constitution says income from the permanent fund shall be deposited into the general fund unless otherwise provided by law. Capturing that otherwise provided by law, the ERA is created in statute. The amendment and amendment B4 to the amendment move the earnings reserve account, but they don't move it because the statute directs that the ERA exists in the permanent fund currently. So essentially what the amendment does is just clarifies in the Constitution the current structure that's set out for in statute.
We'll take a brief at ease. Back on the record. So I was taking some time here to dust off the state constitution, make sure for the sake of explaining what this amendment does and how it impacts the resolution underneath. Ms. Nauman, can you, I need to move from the amendment to HGR 7 and ask a question regarding verbiage that's being deleted from the Constitution under Section 3. And I'm specifically speaking to the all income from the permanent fund shall be deposited in the general fund unless otherwise provided by law. What is the effect that deleting that sentence has, Ms. Nauman, and being replaced with what we find on the amendment, line 20, page 1?
For the record, this is Emily, Legislative Legal Services. So HJR 7, reading Section 3, which you referenced, deleting all income from the permanent fund shall be deposited into the general fund unless otherwise provided as law, in conjunction with Section 4 of HJR 7 before the amendment, directs that all income from the fund shall be used to, under Section 4, pay dividends, and the remainder of the income after the payment of a dividend shall be deposited into the general fund. So those two sections really have to be read together to understand what HJR 7 does now. So every year, if HJR 7 were adopted, all of the income from the permanent fund would be pulled off of the fund and either paid out as a dividend or deposited into the general fund. Under Amendment B.4, the income of the permanent fund remains in the permanent fund, but is deposited in a separate earnings reserve account within the fund. Each year, an amount is pulled off of that earnings reserve account that has a limit of the balance of the earnings reserve account to pay out a dividend according to a formula set out in law, and to transfer some of those earnings to the general fund according to a formula set out in law.
So, Ms. Nauman, as the proposed amendment stands right now, if it was enacted and if HJR 7 was enacted, would the legislature be able to appropriate money out of the earnings reserve account?
Again, for the record, this is Emily, Legislative Legal Services. Representative Carpenter, Chair Carpenter, no. Each of these movements of money would happen without a legislative appropriation. They would happen in accordance with a formula set out in statute. The legislature could still change that statute before those transfers happen, but the transfer of money out of the earnings reserve account would happen without an appropriation.
Thank you, Ms. Nauman. And the process by which the legislature would decide to change those statutes, what process would that be? And I'm wanting to compare that with the appropriations process, just for the record.
Yep. Again, Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services. That would be the process to pass a bill. The appropriations bill is one act. It combines a whole bunch of appropriations for a whole bunch of different purposes. They all get, lumped together and put in a bill on the desk of the legislators, whereas an act changing those statutes would have to be a bill and limited to the subject of the permanent fund under the single subject rule of the elected constitution.
Thank you, Ms. Nauman. I appreciate that. Representative Groh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I wanted to make sure that we got to get had both experts address this who are online, Mr. Mitchell and Ms. Nauman. Ms. Nauman. So I just want to set out a scenario and ask if this would be legal and allowable under the proposed HR 7 with this amendment added. And that's if the legislature changes the formula set out in law for the transfer from the earnings reserve account in the permanent fund to the general fund, not the dividend the distribution, but the other transfer. And the legislature changes that law such that it spends almost all the amount that's left in the earnings reserve account in a single year. Would that be allowable under this proposed version of HDR 7? And I'd like both Mr. Mitchell and Ms. Nauman to address, Ms. Nauman, the legal aspect of it, and Mr. Mitchell, sort of the practical aspect of this, as he understands the operations of the permanent fund.
Ms. Nauman first.
Sure. Again, for the record, Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services. And I hope I'm capturing your hypothetical right through the chair to Representative Groh. You've set out the possibility that the legislature could change the statute formulas in such a way that they could expend nearly the entire balance of the earnings reserve account in a single year. And your question is that possible? And the answer to that question is yes, that is possible.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Nauman, and with the chair's permission, I'd like to ask Mr. Mitchell to describe the way that would work on an operational level and what effect that could have on the management of the permanent fund.
This, again, for the record, is Devin Mitchell, Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. And a scenario where the structure of use resulted in all of the earnings of the permanent fund being used on an annual basis would not conform to the board guidance that's been provided. It wouldn't provide for inflation proofing the fund so that the residents of tomorrow have the same benefits as the residents of today from a purchasing power perspective. It would essentially put the fund on a path towards having less and less meaningful financial impact as the real purchasing power declined through time.
Other questions for Representative Groh? Representative Gray.
Thank you. To the chair, this is a hypothetical. But let's say that we sent this resolution to the voters and it failed, but we passed everything else. Would that have a negative impact on the fiscal plan if we were able to implement everything else, but this did not pass the voters?
I think I will defer first to Ms. Nauman because this is a legal question. Ms. Nauman, did you hear that question?
Yes, and again, for the record, this is Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services. If this amendment didn't pass, the legislature would essentially be in the same situation it is now. It would remain free to appropriate any amount from the ERA in any given year.
Thank you, Ms. Nauman. That was also going to be my answer as well. We're trying to find a solution that says there's teeth in some sort of a formula for the dividend and the state's portion of the earnings without having to find agreement on what that number needs to be in the Constitution. So barring a number in the Constitution, we're always going to be subject to our ability to change statute in order to circumvent what a previous legislator put in place. The best that I can come up with under those circumstances or under that criteria is to say the appropriations process, meaning our budget, our annual budget, doesn't have anything to do with the earnings reserve account and the money that comes out of it. because it's already being taken care of in statute. And if we want to have a conversation about changing the statute, then we do that in a policy committee, but it has nothing to do with our budget. Representative Gray.
Follow up. So this is me just trying to get a philosophical handle on where we're coming from, that essentially we had a permanent fund dividend that we paid until and I'm not the best person, so you could probably correct me. So basically we were short a lot of money when Walker was governor. And so, and I see Representative McCabe shaking his head, so that might be incorrect. Maybe when Walker was governor, we didn't reduce the dividend, but that's my understanding of history. And that there are folks who didn't like that. And so what I feel like is, although we've always paid a dividend, that we want to constitutionally make it so that what happened under Walker can never happen again, that we couldn't suddenly cut the dividend drastically to pay for government services. And I think I'm wondering, is that the problem that we're trying to solve, is try to make it so that that never happens again? Or is there something else that we're trying to solve?
Thank you for the philosophical question. I can answer it. So there is some question in this building from some members about whether we'll even have a PFD, a permanent fund dividend, in the future. And as we look at a limited number of options for revenue, meaning different sources of revenue, and a continued growth of government, that the growth of government is going to consume all of the sources of revenue. And at some point in time, the question will be, we don't have enough money to pay a PFD and pay for government, and so we won't pay a PFD. And so this conversation is really around how do we solve the problem that continues a permanent fund dividend and payment to government through the earnings reserve in this political equation, this political body, right? That is really what this is trying to get at is, and I would also add to that that the oxygen gets sucked out of the room every year when we're fighting over this permanent fund dividend and other things don't get done. So to the extent that we can create a more stable structure that just eliminates that conversation, we can simplify things on how we do budgets and make it an easier process for the legislature to pass a budget every year. That's the intent behind these two pieces of legislation, or the resolution that we have before us today.
Thank you.
Representative McCabe and then Representative Groh.
Thanks. So this is emblematic of, or this is an example of what happens every year, is, you know, there's an argument over who and why and when. And I was shaking my head because we were not short a lot of money. Governor Walker just wanted it, and it resided in the ERA up until, I think, last year. I mean, it was still in there. So for whatever reason, he vetoed it, but we were not short of money. There was money in there to pay that, and he vetoed half of it. That was the start of us down this path, which we have been on ever since.
The Supreme Court upheld the veto. Representative Groh.
Yes, I do want to add, there was an enormous drop in revenues around the time Governor Walker got elected. That's just a fact. And especially the oil revenues fell like crazy. I would also say, as Representative McCabe does note, that there was a veto of approximately half the dividend in that first year. But every year since then, as is widely understood, the dividend has become a negotiation process within the legislature and between the legislature and the governor. I very much share your concerns, Representative Carpenter, Mr. Chair, about bringing stability for the permanent fund dividend and preventing it from being the perennial annual football it has been for years now, that, as you say, sucks, you know, oxygen out of the room and makes it harder for the legislature to address other issues. In addition, I think it is also useful, given that your amendment does cover it, that we or allude to it or touch on it, that we protect the guard against the legislature spending and overspending the permanent fund earnings. And as we've heard tonight from our experts, from Ms. Nauman in particular, the legal effect of this language, as well intended as it is, would be still to allow that second risk of the legislature spending in a spree or even over a period of time overdrawing the permanent fund. So I look forward to working with you to see what we can do to guard against, try to achieve both of those goals of dividend stability and also protection of the earnings so that they're not blown.
Thank you, Representative Groh. I think I'll just refer back to my previous statement that said there is a way to protect the dividend and the fund 100% is by putting numbers into the Constitution. But we don't, in my estimation, have consensus among this body about what the right numbers are, or that whatever number we pick now will be the number we would need in the future at some point in time. And the process for changing it would be problematic, because we're talking about, in order to change the formula, either formula would require a constitutional amendment, and that is a hard hurdle to get through. So the reality of getting something passed is that it can't likely be a number in the Constitution, meaning constitutional certainty for sure. We can get close to it, but I don't believe that there's will in this body to get 100% certainty. And so we're left with figuring out what that is, what the compromise is. Representative Gray.
Thank you. Two quick questions. The first, I guess, is more of a comment about if we were to achieve economic growth and we were to attract, let's say we got our population up to 1 million people or 1.25 million people, then we would require there'd be more people driving on our roads. There'd be more people looking for services. So I feel like in a way, if we achieve economic growth, we may need more government spending to provide for the needs of those additional people. So I think sometimes I feel like that there's this I hear this sense that if a government grows, that's bad. But I think if we had 300 or 400,000 more people living here, we may need to spend more for our roads and services that people use. So that's just more of a comment. To get to the question, I want to support HDR 7, but, and I know we're talking about the amendments, this is coming back to the amendment, I'm not sure that I support HB 110. And so that was kind of going back to my very first questions. The language in the amendment, as I understand it, is kind of setting this up in case we pass HB 110. But I want to make sure, does the amendment still make sense? Does everything still make sense if HB 110 doesn't pass?
Good question. So, Ms. Nauman, is there a conflict? There's a conflict right now. Is there any larger of a conflict or more conflict, more factors to a conflict if HDR 7 passed, but we didn't have a bill passed that redefined the current statutes?
For the record, Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services. No, if HDR 7 passed and the corresponding amendment or the corresponding changes to the law didn't happen, I don't think that there would be an issue. I'd have to look at a little closer and think about that, but nothing jumped out at me at the top of my head.
So, Ms. Nauman, as we've discussed the amendment in the resolution, the intent has always been to provide maximum flexibility by statute outside of the appropriations process for dealing with the earnings and the breakdown or the split of the earnings. But nothing within the resolution directs a certain answer or a certain direction that the legislature might take. So therefore, I would tend to agree that the current statute fits within the scope or fits within the framework that HDR 7 has, just like any other statute change would fit within that framework. Is how I guess how I would answer that to you. Representative McCabe.
Thanks. And this, I think, is for Ms. Nauman. So essentially, we are making this earning reserve account underneath the permanent fund a dedicated fund. Is that right? Even though our Constitution essentially says we don't have any dedicated funds, that's why we're changing the Constitution. That's my question.
Again, yep, for the record, Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services, through the chair to Representative McCabe. Yes, that's correct. I mean, part of the funds are going into the general fund, so those aren't dedicated for any specific purpose, but the Constitution is essentially requiring that, so in a way, they are dedicated.
Representative McCabe.
So that begs the follow-up question, Ms. Nauman. Through the chair, if a fund is dedicated to a certain purpose, is it available for the legislature to tap into and appropriate out of it for other purposes?
Again, Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services, through the chair to Representative McCabe. The fund would be required to be used in accordance with the Constitution, you know, whether or not the amendment you're considering passed. I don't know if that answers your question.
So, well, through the chair, Ms. Nauman, that's exactly what I'm asking. I'm trying to flesh out a little bit Representative Groh's question, and it appears he thinks that the legislature can go in and grab that money if we need it, similar to the PCE or some of the other things that are not really, they're quasi-designated, if you will. But we are specifically making this a dedicated fund, and I think Representative Groh wants to ensure that it's safe from us, essentially, if that makes sense. Not to put words in your mouth, but that's what I got from that.
For the record, this is Emily again, Legislative Legal Services. I guess, you know, playing like total devil's advocate, the one way that that could happen is the legislature could tinker with the formulas of the amounts that go to the general fund and the amounts that go to the dividend in such a way that a bulk of the money goes to the general fund and then could be used for any purpose the legislature desired in that year.
Well,
Representative McCabe.
So to do that, we would have to pass another statute or pass a modification to HB 110 once it's in statute, correct?
Again, Emily, Legislative Legal Services, through the chair, yes, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Groh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have another question from Ms. Nauman, which comes from the Constitution. The last Constitution currently prohibits, has restrictions on the use of the initiative power. And those restrictions from the initiative power state, quote, the initiative shall not be used to dedicate revenues, make or repeal appropriations, create courts, define the jurisdictions of courts, or prescribe the rules or enact local or special legislation, unquote. My question to you, Ms. Nauman, is could the voters through the initiative change the statute that provides for either the dividend or for the payments from the earnings reserve account if HR 7, as proposed, got into the Constitution? Could the voters through an initiative change the statute to create an excessively large liability for the state? Or let's leave out the last part, you know, but can the voters by initiative change the two statutes or the statutory references that are mentioned here of the in terms of the money coming out of the earnings reserve account as proposed by HR 7?
Again, Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services, through the chair, to Representative Groh. You know, this is a very interesting constitutional question, and right now we don't have an answer because there hasn't been a Supreme Court case on it. My suspicion, having only done a very limited amount of research on the topic, is that no, an initiative probably couldn't be used to amend those statutes, but I would want to do a lot more thinking about it, and also, I mean, even if I was to come up with an opinion after doing research, I imagine it would still be pretty uncertain because those there hasn't been a lot of interpretation of that section in relation to a structure, a constitutional structure like this one.
Any other questions in regards to the amendment before us? Representative Gray, do you still maintain your objection to the amendment?
I withdraw my objection.
Are there any other objections to the amendment to HJR 7? Representative Gray?
I maintain my objection in the sense, or I raise an objection now that Mr. Representative Gray has withdrawn his. I'm concerned about the things that I have described here about the risk of overspending, overdrawing, blowing in a spree that I still see here in the way that this proposal would be set up. I also have a conceptual amendment to amendment, this proposed amendment, and I'm going to let the chair decide. I have it written out. I just came up with it today, and I could read it, whatever the chair would prefer.
You, Representative Groh, so that I understand what you're saying, you have a conceptual amendment to amendment number one.
It's language written out by myself, or by that, my staff and myself. I can just announce it. I would.
Okay.
It would be that there would be a additional provision that would state there would be a quote limitation total withdrawal from the permanent fund, the total amount withdrawn from the permanent fund, whether through appropriation or non-appropriation, including the payment of dividends to eligible state residents, shall not exceed a specific percentage of the market value of the fund as determined by statute, unquote.
Object.
I would move it, and that would make the objection.
Okay. Let's do this. If you've got it written out, I would like to get it copied and distributed to the committee members so that they can see it. We'll take a brief at ease while we can do that. We have the conceptual amendment presented by Representative Groh. The conceptual amendment is to amend the state constitution through this amendment to HJR 7. Representative Groh, would you like to speak to your conceptual amendment?
Sure. And yes, it was not until recently that I knew about this new amendment, right, to HJR 7 that you proposed. And so this language would be to provide an additional protection in terms of these transfers that are under the proposed amendment to amendment. A proposed amendment to HJR 7 that would come out of the earnings reserve account. And so it would just state the total amount withdrawn for the permanent fund, whether through appropriation or non-appropriation, including the payment of dividends to the eligible state residents, shall not exceed a specific percentage of the market value of the fund as determined by statute. It would constitutionalize PMMV and help protect against the risk that Ms. Nauman, I could clearly state, that the legislature could overdraw from the earnings reserve account under this proposed amendment to HJR 7.
Okay. Representative Groh, I think I'm going to rule this out of order. The reason I'm going to rule it out of order is because this proposed amendment doesn't address anything that's in amendment number one. It's a new concept. It's a new subject. And it would be better drafted in a second amendment, in its own amendment, and that deadline has already passed. Okay. Are there objections to amendment number one? Do you maintain yours?
I maintain mine.
Okay. Recorder, please call the roll on amendment number one.
Representative Allen.
This is your amendment. This is amendment one. It's not marked. Yes.
Representative Groh.
No.
Representative McKay.
Yes.
Representative McKay.
Yes.
Representative Gray.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Chair Carpenter.
Yes.
Six yeas, one nay.
On a vote of six yeas and one nay, amendment number one has been adopted. And this brings us to the resolution before us as adopted. Questions on the resolution? Okay. I intend to hold the resolution over until we're able to address HB 110, and that will be scheduled for tomorrow. So with no further business before the committee, we will be adjourned as of 7:13 p.m.